After the recent horrific acts in Paris, I heard more than one person say, "Oh, this world is a terrible mess." And it's understandable, you know, in the face of, or in the light of terrorism, maybe I should say in the darkness of terrorism, and attacks on our schools, and violence in our streets, and global warming, and pollution, that we might come to that conclusion. Well, have I cheered you all up to start this lesson today? However, the point is, there's one thing for us to remember, and that is negative attitudes are bad for us, and I truly believe with all my heart they're bad for the world. They don't help. If we invest energy in seeing the world as evil and hopeless, our world becomes just that. And guess who wins? In a recent article, The Neuroscience of Why Gratitude Makes Us Healthier, that's a mouthful for a title, but at any rate, researcher Ocean Robbins says, if you can find any authentic reason to give thanks, anything that is going right with your life or in the world, and put your attention there, statistics say you are going to be better off. And in that vein, Dr. Robert Emmons, who's a renowned researcher about gratitude, says that there are two key components to gratitude. And just see how these align with unity thinking. First is, it's an affirmation of goodness. It's an affirmation that every day we can wake up and look for ever-unfolding good to unfold in our lives. And secondly, it is recognizing the source that is beyond ourselves. It is knowing that it's a higher power than our human selves, at least, that provide us with all the gifts of God. Now, there's an old saying that if you've forgotten the language of gratitude, you can never know happiness. And really, the research supports that. Over the years, hundreds of studies have documented the social, physical, and psychological benefits of gratitude. One study conducted by the Templeton Foundation, this is a fairly recent one, shows the power of gratitude in many ways in our lives. Among youth, among our very youngest citizens, those who experience and practice gratitude are 20% more likely to get good grades and 13% likely to have fewer fights. In teens, those teens who practice gratitude are 10 times less likely to start smoking. Isn't that amazing? Gratitude is also related to age. For every 10 years we age, the research shows, we increase our gratitude, our attitude of gratitude, by about 5%. And maybe that's just comes from the wisdom and perception of aging. I'm not sure. Also, many health benefits. I couldn't even list them all. But a few are that grateful people will have 10% fewer stress-related illnesses, be more physically fit, and their blood pressure is lower by 12% than those people who do not experience and express gratitude. Community-wise, people who are grateful will have a stronger bond with the local community, and in terms of relationships, more satisfying relationships with others. That includes friends, spouses, partners, and everyone. So there are a lot of benefits to gratitude, that's for sure. But practicing gratitude in our life is not just good for personal, social, and psychological reasons. It is actually a sacred spiritual principle, a way of knowing and thanking God. And from the introduction of a wonderful little Unity publication called How Gratitude Changes Everything, free download from the Unity website, the introduction says, and I love this, gratitude lifts our spirits, changes our perspective, and softens our hearts. When we are grateful, we are humble, we are awake, we are filled with wonder. Gratitude helps us appreciate what we have instead of focusing on what we do not have. And Charles Fillmore in Revealing Word says, gratitude and thanksgiving are necessary in demonstrating prosperity through divine law. All metaphysicians have found that being thankful for what we have increases the flow. Charles Fillmore calls it a mighty mind magnet that draws our good to us. And true gratitude is more than just a good manners. It's more than a reactionary emotion. It's really causative energy. And our way shore, Jesus Christ, demonstrated and modeled this again and again. This is a picture of that rock where it's believed that Jesus blessed and gave thanks for the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And we all know what happened, don't we? Enough food materializes to feed 5,000 people. And according to Matthew, there are 12 basketfuls of broken pieces left over. Always more than enough. And Jesus was able to do this by looking beyond the appearance of lack to the eternal substance of God and of good. And he gives thanks in advance always, knowing that good will manifest. I know we've all heard the saying that, you know, to give thanks that when you receive a gift is good manners, but to give thanks before a gift is manifested is really faith. And another place that Jesus shows this is in the story of Lazarus, the raising of Lazarus. This is really a striking example, and it occurred on a hot, dry day in Bethany when Jesus stands with his dear friends Martha and Mary at the cave tomb of their brother Lazarus. This is a picture of that cave, who had been dead for 4 days. And while all the mourners around lament the fact that Jesus is too late to save Lazarus, Jesus commands them to roll away the stone. And next, he looks up, always symbolizing raising to a higher consciousness. He looks beyond what he sees and says, "Father, I thank you in advance for having heard me." And when Jesus gives the really startling command, "Lazarus, come out," the dead man comes out, his hands and feet covered with strips of cloth and his face still wrapped. And Jesus says to the astonished bystanders, "Unbind him and let him go." In Hebrew, the word Lazarus means one whom God helps. And metaphysically, the cave represents the darkness of materiality, and the stone symbolizes belief in only those things that we can see. In other words, belief in appearances. And the stone must be rolled away by faith. That's the only way to do it. And once again, Jesus looks beyond the darkness for the light of spiritual truth. And his heart is full of gratitude for what he knows is forthcoming. The Jafalas in the book The Lazarus Blueprint, which is a great book, we might do a series on that one of these days, they call this upfront thanks, this giving thanks in advance, upfront thanks. And they know that when Jesus looks up, it shows us the power of looking beyond the problem. He looks away from the problem to use his inner resources of faith and a grateful heart to tap into the substance that is in the divine realm. So for us, sincerely expressing heartfelt gratitude unlocks the door to what might seem to be impossible. Now, Unity advocates always practical Christianity. So we don't stop just with understanding the spiritual principle. We really work to apply it in our lives, don't we? That's principle number 5, walk the talk. And so we strive to follow the example of Jesus when we anchor into and expand our sense of oneness with God and with good, giving thanks not just for blessings received, but for those yet to come. And this is the very foundation of the way we pray, affirmative prayer. Now here's the good news. Researchers have discovered that an attitude of gratitude can be learned. It's not something you necessarily are born with. And in fact, they're doing research about how to foster it in schools with young children. And they isolated some characteristics of grateful people and generated some strategies to help us all develop that attitude of gratitude. So right now, as we are looking forward to Thanksgiving and the holiday season and beyond, it seems like a good time to talk about this subject. So I've blended really the research that I've just talked about with some spiritual principles to briefly share 7 strategies with you today about helping to make our lives full of gratitude. Now, I chose 7 because 7 is the number of completeness and perfection, both in the physical and the spiritual. And it derives much of its meaning from being tied directly to God's creation of all things, reportedly in 7 days. So, here's number one, strategy number one. It's simply set the intention. Intentions are so powerful. The late Dwayne Dwyer said, "Our intention creates our reality." And so it's suggested that we start the day with just a brief morning session of gratitude. This can be when we're still in bed, and it can only take 2 or 3 minutes to just concentrate on whatever or whomever we're grateful for in our lives. And then we can establish that sincere intent to move through our day looking for good. And Charles Fillmore often started his day by affirming, and I love this one, it's a good one, "This day I go to meet my good. This day I go to meet my good." What a great way to start our day. And secondly, and this is a really important one, we can pray our way into gratitude. We can begin our practice by asking God to show us to trust, to show us to look beyond the appearances to the greater good. We can pray our way into the realization that our greatest gift is our oneness with Spirit. And from that consciousness, we begin an upward spiral, an ever-increasing upward spiral of gratitude and thanksgiving. In many religious traditions, prayers of gratitude are actually considered to be the most important. I know you all probably seen that Meister Eckhart quote, which says, "If the only prayer you ever said in your whole life was thank you, that would be enough." So, strategy number 3. You all knew that this was going to be among them, didn't you? How many of you have ever kept a gratitude journal? Raise your hand if you ever have. A lot of us have. For those of you who are not familiar with it, it's just a journal or a notebook where we record every day 5, 10, whatever you come up with, blessings of your life. I have kept a gratitude journal on and off for several years, and I really have discovered the power in it. It helps us prime our mind to look for the good. And if I'm having a day where it's hard sometimes to look for the good, just looking back over my old entries really helped me refocus. And for those of you, I guess I should say those of us, who are attached to our smartphones, countless gratitude apps are available. One of them is called Happy Tapper, and it comes with a promise: write down 5 things you're grateful for every day, and your life will change. So try it if you haven't tried it. Try keeping a gratitude journal. Number 4 comes right out of the research, and it's called Come to Your Senses. Now, I know in Unity, a lot of times we talk about looking beyond our senses to the spiritual realm, but at times we also need to celebrate our humanity. We are both spiritual and human beings, and as Emmons says, the researcher says, through our senses, the ability to touch, see, smell, hear, and taste, we gain an appreciation for what it means to be human, and of what an incredible miracle it is just to be alive. It is suggested that we pause for a moment and be consciously aware of those things we want to remember. Things like, and everybody will have their own, but things like the beauty of a morning sunrise, like the joyous sound of beloved children laughing, and for me, the smell and taste of that first cup of freshly brewed coffee. I love that. I love that. Wakes me up in the morning. It's wonderful. So taking this mental photograph during the day, just almost a mental snapshot, and holding it in mind really can help us to continue to be in awe and appreciation of those moments of our lives that may be small, but are just really good sources of gratitude. Now, the next one is classic Unity, although it comes from the research, and that is to remember the power of the word. Grateful people really have a different vocabulary, and you can listen for this, because I hear it from you all the time. Words like gift and giver, words like blessing and blessed, words like fortunate and abundance. The thing is, we all carry an inner dialogue in our heads all the time. Psychologists call it self-talk. And when our inner conversation is negative, our mood usually drops. Our mood becomes low. The good news is we can change our mood by changing the tone of the things we say to ourselves. I'll be really honest with you. I'm working on this right now with this approached season of winter. It's not my favorite season, okay? It just isn't. However, instead of telling myself all the horrible things about winter and visualizing myself not being able to get here on Sunday morning and all those horrible things, I'm trying to just refocus my self-talk on the things I love. Things like a blazing fire, a warm cup of soup, a comfortable sweater, or my very favorite scarf that was given to me by a friend. You know, it's just a matter of refocusing. And this one seems a little unity-like maybe in the beginning. But the researchers have found that when we reflect back about experience that we have labeled as bad or not positive, when we look back at them with a positive lens, it can shift our perception. Some of you are shaking your heads. How many of you have found that when you look back on that thing in your life that you thought was one of the worst things that ever happened to you, it really was something that shaped you and helped you grow? And you really did benefit from it. And even if that's not the case, and sometimes maybe it isn't, but even if that's not the case, remembering how we found the power to survive life's challenges helps us to get in touch with our Christ powers. We know that we found within things like love and life and wisdom and good judgment and strength and all the rest. And knowing that just builds that muscle to let us know next time, yes, we can handle this. We've handled A, we can handle B. And so the last one, number 7, is I remember Charles Fillmore, I think he was the one who first said, praying is wonderful, but eventually we have to put feet to our prayers. And so this attitude of gratitude is great, but as long as it just remains an attitude, you know, it's not as good. We need to absolutely think about what actions we can take to bring this attitude into the world. And the researchers say if we go through even the simplest motions of gratitude, just the simplest ones, like smiling at a frazzled clerk or establishing eye contact and sincerely saying, thank you for your service. It just brings emotions of gratefulness, and it triggers them in us. And we can also, and the Daily Word was just perfect for this. It was just, Mary, what you read was just perfect. We can also send a note or text of appreciation to somebody. We can post messages of gratitude to our friends on Facebook or other social media, and these can be sent to someone in your life that you just have never had a chance to properly thank. And we all know how wonderful it is to get those notes. It just is really, it's really wonderful. And we also can go beyond these simple little everyday acts, and I like to call this one think and thank outside the box, meaning we can just look creatively for ways that we can express our gratitude. Just be really creative with it. I had a supervisor once, a principal, who came around whenever it was payday. He personally took the time to come around to every one of his like 70 employees, walk in our classrooms in front of the kids, hand us our paycheck, and say, thank you for your work. I so appreciated this last month when you did X, and named a specific, you know, thing that he was grateful for. And that was extremely powerful. It really was. I mean, that just fostered lots of appreciation among the staff. And I read on a blog this week another one that I wanted to share with you. It was about a young woman who had an elderly neighbor named Elizabeth. And Elizabeth worked hard all spring and summer doing what she loved, and that was planting and taking care of beautiful flowers all around her property, and everybody in the neighborhood benefited from them and loved them. Once the yard began showing signs of winter and lost all of its color, you know, how things are going to get in a few weeks if they're not already there, kind of dark and, you know, crumbly. The young woman, though, noticed that, and she knew how much her neighbor must love flowers, so she simply, on her way or on her supermarket trip, she picked up a bouquet of flowers and gave it to Elizabeth. And she writes in her blog that when I handed Elizabeth the flowers, tears ran down her face, and you would think that she'd actually won the lottery. What a simple act, and yet what great benefit it is for both the giver and the receiver. So, for those of you who are interested in working on this thing called gratitude, I have a great resource for you. It is a website, and it's called the 21-Day Gratitude Challenge. Now, you know, 21 is the number of days that psychologists say we need to do a habit before it becomes ingrained. And if you join this, you'll receive daily emails with inspiration and ideas on how to cultivate your gratitude practice. And the website is www.kindspring.org/challenge. So if anybody needs that, I can put it up after the service and you can see it again, get a chance to copy it down. And whatever strategies you're guided to choose, and when we go into prayer, we will be guided. Maybe some of these seven you're looking at and think, oh, that's not for me, and that's okay. But we can all find our own strategies. But the point is, we can all learn to navigate this world from a continuous attitude of gratitude. And I think we need to talk about what Paul says in Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. He says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is sometimes called radical gratitude. Okay, now, all circumstances? All circumstances? Does that mean when I dropped my precious iPhone into my koi pond a few weeks ago and watched it trickle down to the bottom that I was supposed to give thanks? Does it mean when you, our loved one, receives a dismal diagnosis that we give thanks? Does it mean that we give thanks when we face a personal financial crisis? Does it mean we give thanks for failed relationships? Surely it doesn't mean we give thanks for the catastrophe in Paris. Well, Eric Butterworth sheds some light on this. He says that we need to notice what the text really says, and I looked this up. This is consistent in almost all versions, and that is, it doesn't say to give thanks for all circumstances, but what does it say? Give thanks in all circumstances. And there's a difference. Jesus did not stand there on that rock and give thanks for the lack of food. That's not what he was giving thanks for. He gave thanks for a greater good that he knew would come from the lack. And in other words, we can bless any situation by realizing that the power and presence of God is in whatever challenge we face. This is a reminder that there's no place we can ever be that God is not. We had a prayer chaplain many years ago who always used to say, remember, God is in the muck. God is there when we're in the muck. God is with us. Paul, I think, here is telling us to use our perceiving power of faith to know and affirm in advance that good will come of our challenges. If we need healing, the cells of our body are most likely to respond and regenerate when they know our love and appreciation for them. That's how Myrtle Fillmore achieved her healing, by blessing every cell and organ of her body. If we wish to live in wholeness, we need to praise the evidence of life and health that we already have. If we want more prosperity, we need to give thanks for whatever resources are available, just as Jesus did with the existing loaves and fishes. And then those resources will absolutely multiply in miraculous ways. If we want an improved relationship with a friend or loved one, we talked about this last week, we need to behold the Christ in that person, and our relationships will be enriched. So, let's go back to those recent horrific attacks in Paris and talk about what we can be grateful for. We can be grateful for the countless ways that people from all over the world have come together with prayers and acts of love and kindness, demonstrating that we will not be divided by terrorism and fear. We will not. And one example that I'm sure a lot of you saw in the news, this is a takeoff from something that started in Canada, which is called Blind Trust. And this is an incident where a gentleman who is Muslim stood in the center of Paris, blindfolded, holding a sign saying, "I'm a Muslim and I have been labeled a terrorist. I trust you. Do you trust me?" And do you know what happened? The line was so long of people standing up to give him a hug that it was unbelievable. And so that's an example of how love can come from these acts. And one closer to home for us, did you all see this? Posted on Unity's website and also posted on our First Unity Facebook page is the prayer of protection in French. And I understand, I read in the paper the other day, that it has been reprinted in lots of French newspapers all over the country. So that's another way that we can come forward and spread our love. And so in the end, as we said last week, we don't always have control over what happens in the physical world. We don't. We have control only over what? Our own consciousness, our own attitudes, what's in our own hearts. And gratitude is especially a state of a fullness of heart that moves us from fear and limitation to love, goodness, and God's perfect divine order. Gratitude expands our awareness of God in our lives and in the universe. It opens us up to receive and appreciate our ever-unfolding good and therefore allow even greater blessings to flow. And so it is. Thank you, God, and happy Thanksgiving. And now let's take a moment just to affirm our greatest gift. That there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life, God the good, omnipotent, and so it is. Together, there's only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life, God the good, omnipotent, and so it is.